So Howard Thurman offers us roots, right? He offers us the understanding that I just lost. The fact is that much of life is made up of reaping where we have not sown and planting where we shall never reap. And Adrienne Marie Brown, I think, offers us wings. Because sometimes what our ancestors have sown, not sometimes, I think many of the times, maybe most of the times, maybe even all of the times, the seeds that our ancestors have sown were sown in a place of less connection, less understanding, less compassion. I come from a pair of immigrants who experienced World War II in Germany. One as a child in a city that sustained attacks, and one as a member of first the Hitler Youth and then the Nazi Army. As young people, their world was grounded in values I cannot begin to understand, and they carried those values with them into their adulthood and into their parenting. I am quite sure they would believe they failed in their work as parents, because their daughter is a queer, woke, anti-authoritarian, divorced, crunchy mama. Yeah, I have made my peace with that, because I've come to understand that the world that taught them supremacy and colonialism was insidious and harmful and grounded in prejudice and fear and all they knew. If you are hearing me talk, you live in a world created by people who lived in a time of less knowing, less connectedness, and less possibility, who thought they could only belong through some version of destruction of themselves and others. We live in a world trying to recover from the harm that this has caused our ancestors and ourselves. Some of us experience that harm as victims of the systems created by those who came before us, especially those of us who are Black or Brown or queer or trans or poor or disabled. And some of us experience that harm as descendants of the creators of those systems. In his book, My Grandmother's Hands, Racialized Trauma and the Pathway to Mending Our Hearts and Our Bodies, Resma Menachem acknowledges the harm done in the perpetrators of white supremacy. He writes, witnesses to violence often have their own trauma responses, and these types of trauma are called secondary trauma or vicarious trauma. Almost every human being holds some of this trauma in their body. A particularly poisonous form of secondary trauma involves not only witnessing the harming of another human being, but inflicting that harm, because the perpetrator knows they have committed a moral transgression. Their actions also create profound shame. Therapists call this moral injury. So if you live in a world in which you're taught that you're superior and have the right to dominate all other beings, including other humans who are not like you, you're moving through that world causing harm to others. We are moving through that world causing harm to others, and we are suffering from moral injury. I wonder what harm it did to my father to soak in the messages of supremacy and nationalism. And when I think about this in a bigger way, I find myself asking, what did our white ancestors have to give up in terms of their humanity, their spirits, to kill their human siblings they found on this land so they could spread across it? To enslave their human siblings, their Black and Brown human siblings, to create a workforce to ensure their own survival. What does this legacy of that harm do to me and to my white siblings? And what am I called to do to help heal that harm? I offer here an idea first expressed by, coincidentally, another German. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe was a poet and a playwright, a novelist, a scientist, a statesman, a theater director, a critic in late 18th century Germany. He wrote, "There are only two lasting bequests we can hope to give our children. One of these is roots, and the other wings." That's where this came from, this saying of roots and wings. I didn't know that before I researched this. The roots part of this is about our heritage, our ancestors, what is planted for us. Regardless of how their actions and stories have impacted who we are and how we move through the world, our ancestors are where we started. They're what holds us into the earth. They're what connects us and what offers us some of our nourishment, the roots. And the wings part, I think, is about passing along our experiences of freedom and delight, as Adrienne Marie Brown says, as we learn to forgive and to heal the moral injury of our history. Because we're part of these continuing stories that are rooted in places of harm, that means, because we're part of those continuing stories and those stories are continuing, that also means we're the ancestors of those who will come after. This is where the wings part comes in. Our lives are in a time of more knowing, more connectedness, more possibility than the lives of our forebears. And I think we're learning most of the time that we don't have to only belong through some version of destruction of ourselves and others. Adrienne Marie Brown helps us know that it's not only possible to unlearn those parts of our heritage that no longer serve us, but it's desirable, right? This is where we want to go. I offer an example from our Unitarian Universalist tradition, specifically our musical traditions. If you've been coming to Reeb for any amount of time, you've likely gotten used to having your worship leaders make changes to music you have come to know by offering different words. We do this when we learn that language passed to us from our Unitarian and Universalist ancestors has caused harm. And we do it knowing that it's uncomfortable to learn new words and that we don't always really understand the harm and the reason for doing so ourselves. A model of a lovely way to do this is a hymn that we often sing that we now call Answering the Call of Love. When this song was written by UU musician Jason Shelton, it was inspired by a phrase that then UUA president Bill Sinkford made possible. That phrase was standing on the side of love. Who has a t-shirt that says that? Me too. Those are the words we used to sing, standing on the side of love. And then at some of our national gatherings, several people who were disabled shared that while they understood the intent of the words, right, and were completely behind that, they were also hurt by the ableist language. And they asked us to hold that for them, with them, and figure out what to do with it. It took some time because change is hard. But a few congregations, like we sometimes change our lyrics, you know, a few congregations started doing that. Some actually stopped singing the hymn altogether, right? And some of them, and found something else to convey the same idea. And then Jason put out some posts in some high visibility blogs and chat groups that he was changing the title and the words. And that's how our congregations sing it now, Answering the Call of Love. There are other learnings from the music we sing. Just this week, I chose a piece of shared music. Jennifer came to me with a couple of concerns. It turned out that the words come from a painting by the French artist Paul Gauguin. I don't know if I'm saying that right. The title of the painting is Where Do We Come From? What Are We? Where Are We Going? which Wikipedia says has been called, quote, a philosophical work comparable to the themes of the Gospels. Deep stuff. I knew that much. And I thought, hey, cool, right? We're inspired by this painting. Pretty neat. I never really actually looked at the painting. He painted this piece in Tahiti, and it depicts brown-skinned people, including young brown women, in a way that turns out to be his style. An article Jennifer shared with me said, his representations of nude Tahitians reflect a sexual and racial fantasy forged from a position of patriarchal colonist power. This is on artsy.net. So we decided that, We decided that in talking together, Jennifer was already uncomfortable. I went, oh, I'm kind of uncomfortable with this too. I'm not sure I want to sing this. And so we sang Gathered Here this morning. Another recent learning is about the Harry Belafonte song we sang a few weeks ago, Turn the World Around. We love that song, right? Yeah, we do. Did you know that the fun, punchy word abatiwa is a gay slur in Jamaican slang? Yeah. Harry Belafonte didn't know that. He thought it was a fun, punchy word. Now I know it, and you know it. I'm not sure I can sing it anymore. It makes me feel both good in a way, right? I'm doing a good healing thing. I'm exercising my freedom to make choices, to not utter words that might harm. And it makes me sad. I love these songs. Yeah. So we get to choose, right? That's the point of all of this musical history. We get to choose. What parts of the stories of our ancestors do we want to move forward? And what parts do we want to change? And as we choose, we get to feel how we feel about all of that, because change is hard. And even as we unlearn the harmful stories and actions of our ancestors, we do things that our descendants will have to live with. For some of those things, they will have to apply that frame that Adrienne Marie Brown offered us, a recognition that we were the people who had less knowing, less connectedness, less possibility than they do, right? Being on a learning journey does not preclude us from making our own mistakes. Sometimes we learn from them and we turn toward doing better. Sometimes we don't, or we can't. Or we think we're doing better only to find out that really we're not. And then we perpetuate harm because we're not willing or able or just don't have the perspective yet to do it differently. Those for whom we are ancestors are inheriting a world with deeply damaged ecosystems and a changing climate that might eventually be inhospitable to human life. They're inheriting the impacts of enslavement and genocide of millions of people, just as you and I have inherited them. They're inheriting consumerism and poverty and racism, and they will have to do their own work to feel the harm we cause and its impact on them. I think that we can also pass along the ability to recognize, though, when something has to change. We can pass on the ability to grieve honestly the losses that implies. And we can pass along the joyful healing of the harm that's caused. We can loosen. Brian Stevenson is a public interest lawyer and founder of the Equal Justice Initiative, which works to eliminate excessive and unfair sentencing, to exonerate innocent death row prisoners, to confront abuse of the incarcerated and the mentally ill, and to aid children prosecuted as adults. When he talks about working with incarcerated people, he often says, each of us is more than the worst thing we have ever done. What a beautiful reminder of my own inherent worth and dignity, of that of my ancestors, whatever their actions or stories might be. I can learn from what I've inherited and choose what I will pass on. And I hear that. Each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. May it be so, and may we be so.